I'm David Dutch. I'm Vice President, working with clients for their data and news needs here at NGI. And as a former trader, my job here is to try to see where the trades were and how the curves were affected by this negative WTI. Price shocks create volatility, and volatility creates trading opportunities. This negative $39 on April 20th was one heck of a price shock. From a natural gas trading perspective, especially basis, which is my background, when WTI went negative, you had to immediately assume shut-ins, which is very bullish basis. The NYMEX traders figured this out quickly and rallied the Henry Hub futures curve. Basis traders also quickly realized that this was likely the event that would finally allow Permian and Waha to rally from these historically weak basis differentials. And not only was associated gas at risk, but you had to believe bankruptcy and CapEx cuts would hit the pure natural gas drillers as well. So from a West trading perspective, this was a rock-solid bull trade. My question is for you traders that are on the phone was, did you pull the trigger and get in the trade? I thought for this discussion, we should have a look at the Waha and Permian prompt winter forward curves, the upcoming Novi March, and some surrounding regions to Permian and Waha that are affected by their flows and their shut-ins. During three time periods, I want you to see how the oil shock and subsequent shut-ins affected the forward curves and the bull trade that hopefully we all put on. The three periods I'm going to have us look at are April 1. We'll look at the NGI historic forward curves for April 1, which is pre-oil shock. And then we'll look at May 14th, which is kind of the peak of the shut-ins. And then we'll finally take a look at kind of where the market is right now and see what's gone on. So I wanted to do a quick review of Jade's macro fundies before we get right into the curves here. On the bearish side, we had production pre-WTI price shock of 12.2 BCF in the perm. Storage was well ahead of the year-on-year and five-year average. We had pandemic demand destruction. And another factor that Jade touched on was Europe had just concluded a very mild winter. That forced TTF and NBP pricing down, and indeed, European storage came out of the winter very full. So this meant less West Texas gas was going to be needed for the Gulf Coast LNG facilities, which exacerbated the bearishness out in the perm and the Waha. On the bullish side, we had good power burn, and the other main bullish event that really didn't reflect in the forward curve is we have some new infrastructure projects coming up that'll take gas away. One of the projects, which I'm going to try to pronounce, is the Villa de Reyes Aguas Calientes Guadalajara, also known as the Waha-Lajara system. That did go in service this past June, and that's about 0.89 BCF of takeaway from Waha all the way down into Guadalajara, Mexico. So that helps a little bit. And then coming early 2021 are both the Permian Highway, which is 2 BCF to Katy, and the Whistler Pipeline is also expected to come on early 2021, and that's 2 BCF into Agua Dulce. Again, Jade won't be able to track them thanks to the Railroad Commission, but a lot of takeaway coming into the region that should ultimately help the forward curve in the future. So anyway, some good news, some takeaway news is bullish, but not nearly enough to rally this winter that we're going to look at, or the rest of the forward curve with all these bearish headwinds. So now let's look at this slide, West Texas 1, and hopefully everybody can see it. Laurent was kind enough to put slides up for me, but I'm a basis differential guy. So over on the right is where I'm going to emphasize my discussion. And we have three different periods, as I stated. We have the April 1 pre-WTI price shock, May 14, right in the heart of the shut-ins, and then current market, I use July 30th to reflect on that. Quick comment on winter curves, especially Western winter curves. We have what's known as an inverted V, meaning the November is usually in steep contango to the December, January, and February, and also in contango to March. Now we're looking at basis differentials. We're not looking at fixed price, and I give you the Henry Hub fixed price down there. But if we were to look at the fixed price, you would notice that every single location that we're about to review is indeed an inverted view in November in steep contango to DEIS Jan Feb and also in contango to March. So interestingly, on April 1st, before the price shock, we're looking at a November through March average of minus 76 to the Henry Hub, 76 under the hub for the winter strip, and Permian minus 72.4. Perm's always a little more expensive because you have to pay costs to get from Waha to Permian across the Waha header. So minus 76 and minus 72. April 20th, we go to negative 39. That day or a day or two later, everybody should have been going, this is completely bullish, and hopefully put these winter strips on or whatever strips in the forward you want to put on. This was a very significant event for the forward curves. And we go to May 14th, so we had 12.2 BCF on that April 1 period. By the time we get to April or the May 14 curve, we're down to about 9.6 BCF, as Jade stated. So we had a big fall off in production, and have a look at what the curve did. We went from minus 76 on Waha to minus 37. I can tell you, as an old basis trader with the emphasis on old, that that's a heck of a move for Waha and Permian also, 72 to 40. Congratulations, if you put these trades on, you made a lot of money. And quite frankly, if I was still trading and I had these trades on, I would have been exiting after 30 or 40 cents, because by the time we got into later May, a lot of the CapEx reductions, that news was showing up, potential bankruptcies were showing up, the panic was in the market, and you also had crude oil. You know, OPEC did some further shutting in, they agreed to, so oil prices started to rally. So for me, from a trading perspective, if I caught the move, I saw the shock, I knew there would be shut-ins, I'm taking my profits here. So that's the May 14th period. Now we come to the current market. We're back up to 11 BCF in production. And interestingly, Permian and Waha really are kind of still on their highs. So from a trading perspective, I don't love it here. I don't know that I'd short it, but I think I would. This is no longer a key fundamental trade where you can try to take 20, 30, 40 cents out of it. It's more a situation now where you're paying attention to what's going on with LNG. And interestingly, we had a market rally, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, the NYMEX had a nice pop, and that followed on the heels of TTF popping. Interestingly, Europe found a way to backhaul some of their storage up into Ukraine, of all places. And anyway, that helped them, that helped prices pop over there. That carried forward here, and it might give a little bit of good news for our Gulf Coast LNG. So I think things are priced fairly here, and I would be trading these from a very short-term perspective based on news. For example, TW had a compression outage today, so that'll lead us into SoCal. But I'd just be trading off current events here. I think the big move happened. So the next slide, and here's Waha. Thank you again, Laurent. Okay, now we'll go to SoCal real briefly. I don't have PG&E on here, but PG&E could absolutely be on here. It moved just like the SoCal City Gate and SoCal Border did. The reason I put SoCal on here is Permian obviously is a major supply basin to the California border via TW and El Paso pipelines. And you could have easily gone long SoCal instead of Perm and Waha, because you knew if there was any panic with shut-ins, when you get into the winter, we all know what goes on at SoCal City Gate in the winter, or at least it would be a great topic for another webinar. But fear kind of reigned the day, and if Waha and Perm were catching that kind of a bid, it's pretty fair to say SoCal Border and SoCal City Gate will follow. And sure enough, you look at April 1 before the WTI price shock, SoCal Border average was 20 over the hub. The City Gate was roughly 110 over the hub. Then we get into max shut-in, Waha perm rallied, SoCal border average went up 22 cents, and we see SoCal city gate popping about the same. So good trades. Again, I'm exiting those trades at this point. You made your 20 cents, and that's a real nice rate of return, especially if you bought some strips. So I'd be exiting the trade. And then you look to the current market down in the third column, and sure enough, as production came back up on perm, even though the Permian and the Waha haven't corrected all the way back, SoCal's breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief and going, okay, production's back up to 11 BCF. We can sell this off a little bit. It got too high. So SoCal border average is now trading around 23 over the hub, and the city gate's trading 97 versus 133. So that's a trade you could have gone up and then played it from the short side. I will make the obvious comment to everybody on this call. It's not healthy to be ever short DSJAN and Feb, SoCal city gate. So that's the SoCal piece. And there's another graph of the city gate versus the hub. Okay, and the last section I wanted to talk about is Rockies with a little color on ACO. Rockies also supplies California via Kern. Gas comes down Trans-Colorado and Northwest Pipeline through San Juan to get onto TW in El Paso. So it also affects California, and also the gas obviously flows east and up to Chicago. We're not going to address that for this webinar, but Rockies gas also flows up to the Pac Northwest, as Jade had mentioned. And so we look at the Rockies curve, and Rockies before the price shock was minus 12, and Sumas was 52 over the hub. Just a couple quick comments on Sumas. Sumas was Algonquin before anybody ever heard of Algonquin. It's always crazy up there in the winter when it gets cold. They have trouble getting gas. I also think there's a little fear in the market. As you recall, two winters ago, we had the West Coast pipeline explosion up in BC, and it took a long time to repair and get it back fully operational. And then we had that crazy late Feb and March cold that affected the entire Pac Northwest, California, and the Rockies. And prices, you know, Sumas prices hit $100. And so there's fear in that market. But nevertheless, Waha and Perm led all this. Rockies, of course, as Jade showed you, also lost production, lost about a B and a half, and that's a lot of production to lose for winter loads. So you got some panic. The Rockies went from minus 12 before the price shock, went positive. Haven't seen positive Rocky curve in quite a while. That's what originally caught my attention back in May when I saw a positive November through March Rockies curve. So pretty impressive moves. Again, you could have bought any of these points with the exception of ACO, and made money, and we'll talk about ACO in just a second. Malin, of course, sources its gas out of the Rockies at Opal, Wyoming, and that flows over to Malin, which is on the California-Oregon border. So Malin also rallied in sympathy with everything else. There was fear in these markets. PG&E was rallying, SoCal was rallying, Malin had to rally. And of course, it went from minus 5 to plus 17. So you made money everywhere here. And again, by May 14th, production was starting to bounce back up. So you're pretty much out of the trade. And again, never be short DSJAN Feb, probably March Sumas. Don't know that you need to be long, but don't be short them. The outlier here is ACO. And ACO's an interesting story. So Bakken also shut in. Why do we care about Bakken? Well, if you looked during that period between April 1 and May 14th, you saw around May after the shut-ins occurred at Bakken and in the Rocks, your flows on Williston Basin, Northern Border Alliance, your major pipes coming through Bakken and out of Bakken, the flows went way, way down. And that, to me, told me that DMARC and Chicago should have been really rallying. And Chicago really didn't do anything. I look back at NGI's historical curves, and Chicago didn't do much during these, during all of this chaos. So my guess is ACO, because Chicago wasn't moving that much, it really didn't do a lot. And maybe there's an ACO trader on here. I haven't traded ACO in about 3 years, And when I did trade it, I wasn't very good at it, but maybe somebody on here can add some opinion to that. But at any rate, AECO is the outlier of everything I've shown you. It was minus 94 on April 1st, and on the May 14th period, 91, so it only rallied a few cents. If I had had that trade on and everything else was making me money, I would have been mad at it and gotten out of it. So I wouldn't have made any money. And then lo and behold, look what happens. Everything starts coming back and AECO decides to go. So it goes from 91 on May 14th to minus 75 currently. And I'm the expert here and I really don't know why. So just a bit of an outlier. So anyway, in conclusion, I hope that helps you see that this negative price shock at WTI back on April 20th was a tremendously powerful event for the forward curves. Permian and Waha led the charge, and it brought all other regions with it. It was very bullish. It was a lot of money to be made, some really good trades. And currently, production's coming back. We're kind of in limbo. All the numbers are tighter. So trade with caution, like you always do.